him being in, like, this violent world, but then also, like, a dad, and, like, him looking very silly to try and go find her, it just, like, really humanizes his character and makes him really...
Well, cause I'm a bitch, she's a big fat bitch, she's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a stupid bitch, she's the worst bitch, she's a bitch to all the boys and girls. On Monday, she's a bitch, on Tuesday, she's a bitch, and Wednesday to Saturday, she's a bitch. Then on Sunday, just to be different, she's a super king, come a may a bitch.
We're so, 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 so happy to be so, so, sewing at home. We're so, 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 so happy when we say we sewed it at home. We picked the pattern, the fabric, the notion, then we got it going. With thank you to dear Mr. Singer for those aids to sewing. We're so, 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 so happy to be so, so, sewing at home.
From both coasts, putting out albums long after they've decomposed. So the lyrics are a little behind the times, but how do they get the dead to write rhymes? Song after song on the radio I hear is by a guy who died in the yesteryear, but it's the best I hear of all the crap on the air. It's pretty sad when you compare it to those still breathing the air. I've been looking for a deal since I wrote my first song. Now I finally realize what I've been doing wrong. It's not my cheesy beats or that my lyrics aren't strong. It's just a simple fact that I've been living too long.
Dead rappers got records flying off the shelf,
so I might get a deal if I kill myself. That would pretty much guarantee more airplay, but I don't think that I'd be able to enjoy the extra pay. It blows me away what the dead are achieving. Silly me thought it'd be tough to rap without breathing. Don't you know being dead seems to be the way to go? Look, there's another dead rapper on the radio.
Living or not, I gotta give them their props. They've been dead for years, but the rhyming don't stop. They'll be back, doesn't matter what the death report is. Throwing down and being hard is now due to rigor mortis. That rapper died late last fall. He's still rotting in the hall, but now he's got gold records on the wall. It's the dawn of the dead, and the dead can rap. Still getting paid while taking a dirt nap. In the story, you hear their beats cranked high. You look the clerk in the eye and say,
didn't that guy die?
But their careers go on, even though they're long gone. There's a signing next week out on Forest Lawn. Dead rappers got records on the top of the charts, and all I got is a degree in liberal arts. That means that before I could ever be adored, I'd have to be full of formaldehyde and stiff as a board. I just can't believe what the dead are achieving, like a rude house guest who's just not leaving. It's another bonus for the record label CEO. Look, there's another dead rapper on the radio.
He be passed on. He has ceased to be. Homeboy has expired and gone to meet his maker. This is a late rapper. They be stiffed, bereft of life. OGs, rest in peace out. Metabolical processes are of interest only to historians. My man has dropped the twig. Mofo has shuffled off this portal coil, running upside the curtain and joined the choir invisible. In short, this is an ex-rapper.
Scott LaRock has been dead for like 15 years, so he'll probably do a video with Britney Spears. Every year we hear the news, there goes another one lined up on death row.
Now that's a big pun.
Big L, Biggie Smalls, all the big rappers get death's glance, so Buffy didn't stand a chance. And the record labels won't leave well enough alone, cause you can't collect royalties on a tombstone. I got some advice for the folks who hate Eminem. Don't kill him, cause then you'll never get rid of him. They'll put out best, worst, and unreleased rhymes, guest vocals and home videos until the end of time. Dead rappers got records flying off the shelf, so here's a toast to Jay-Z's health and to Puff Daddy, P. Diddy or whatever. Live long and prosper, hell, live forever, cause once they're dead, we won't ever be free. No R.I.P. for R.A.P. Don't you know being dead seems to be the way to go? Look, there's another dead rapper on the radio.
Yo, dog, that rapper is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Mostly dead is slightly alive. Well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing you could do.
What's that, yo?
Go through his clothes and look for the bling bling.
My style can't be duplicated or recycled.
I am a traveler. A wanderer.
I'm not a disc jockey. I'm a human radio station.
Dante's Hot Tub with your host, Juan Rapido.
What a bummer!
On Radio Valencia, Wednesday, 8 to 10.
Countdown, take me away!
Thank you very much. You've been a delightful audience.
I'm a better, 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 better. I'm a better, 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 better. I'm a better, 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 better. flower that lays all dead and swine. The flower of love holds the key of life.
Face your own biggest challenge. The day you risk it all.
Nose hair, link bland.
Bizarre religious objects. Weird ceremonies. Snake handlers. And pot-smoking children.
With Karen Carpenter.
A man everybody would like to have seen dead.
And Dr. Fiasco.
An audacious man of action, capable of a tender, hopeless love, which could only last a day. But a day which was worth all eternity.
Wednesdays from 10 p.m. to midnight.
It's gonna be like nothing anybody has ever seen.
On Radio Mobile.
little tiny fishes, why don't you please? The Japanese are watching the garden growing on an island around the vine, and your fingers through the filings.
The seventh and biggest secret of all, infuriate them.
Well, perhaps you gasp at this idea. Lord Byron, the poet, who was a tremendous success with the ladies, said, feminine means furious, because all passions in excess are female. Frankly, I hesitate to tell you this last secret. Now, you must listen very closely so that you can use it in the right way. If you don't, the secret can destroy you. You see, a woman hides within her furies, whose forces, once released, can conquer any foe. Let me explain. Women are like the sea. The currents and tides which move them every day are regular ebbs and flows until a wind whips them up. Then they suddenly spring to fantastic force. It's no accident the weather department gives hurricanes the names of women. The secret of whipping the waters is to make a woman mad. Infuriating a woman is to press a powerful spring, as Ralph Waldo Emerson explained. I stumbled upon this secret in my own organization. One of my top saleswomen just couldn't seem to sell milk orders for our milk company. However, she was excellent in all her other sales. I tried every means to convince her she could do a better job. I rehearsed her in sales techniques. I pleaded with her, all to no avail. Finally, I called her into the office and asked her who she herself took milk from. Oh, I've taken milk from the blank company for years. I realize they're not our advertising sponsor, but the driver is such a sweet man. That explains it, I told her. You must be giving him your sales leads under the table. She was shocked at my insult. I am not, she cried. I'll show you, Dottie Walters. And she did. She turned in more milk business than all the rest of my saleswomen together. I had to make her mad before I could move her. I had to turn on her fury. So let's look at the nature of these furies, and then I will explain how you, too, can unleash them in order to sell to women. The Greeks believed there were three angry female furies. Today, you can deliberately conjure them up in every woman's heart to produce action. The first fury was Tisiphone, the Avenger. A woman who feels she is abused will move mountains. As Virgil said, their rage supplies them with weapons. Can you show your women prospects how your product will alleviate abuse, suffering, or help the underdog? And remember, you may be able to show her that she is the underdog. Susan B. Anthony was an ordinary woman attending a meeting when the chairman told her to sit down. Women are to listen, not speak. That insult awoke her furious indignation. As the result of her fury, she started the suffrage movement. The male chairman had unwittingly set her off. Harriet Beecher Stowe, who was angry over the oppression of Negro slaves, was an ordinary housewife. So she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin while she did her housework. Abraham Lincoln commented later, she was the little lady who started the big war. Dorothea Dix was shown a poor, insane man chained in a hole in the ground for the winter. She became so angry, she tackled the state legislature and persuaded that all-male body to vote unheard-of sums for the construction of mental hospitals. And then she took on the other states, until one by one she had pushed hospital legislation for the insane through every one of them But someone had to get her mad before she took action. I know another salesman who has sold $1 million worth of vacuum cleaners by the use of the following opening statement. I want to show you something, madam, that your neighbor says that you can't afford. The second fury was Maguire, the jealous. Remember, jealousy likes to wear a halo called moral indignation. Can your product help your prospect to retain the love of her husband, her children, or her friends? Her jealousy extends to the love of her home and her country as well. When 200 women set out to clean up the sin city of Galveston, Texas, the local politicians laughed. Then they learned to their sorrow that these women were furious, and Galveston was reformed. Later, the same politicians were reported as confessing, not only is there no fury like a woman scorned, there is no cleanup power like a mother aroused. As William Blake said, tigers of wrath are wiser than the horses of instruction. In all nature, the female who is aroused over the safety of her children is a feared and ferocious force. The thugs who attacked a frail mother in her home recently were apprehended as they ran out of the building, screaming with fear. Well, I couldn't let them hurt my baby, she explained as she put down her rolling pin. The newspapers are full of stories of thieves thwarted by unarmed women. Oh, she was so mad she scared me, they admit. This force can be used to advantage if you can show a woman how your product will protect her family, her country, or her own attractiveness. Remember, if she loses her attractiveness, she may lose everything else. She's very jealous of it. That is why she spends millions on cosmetics and reducing plans. You can turn on this jealousy power to sell any number of items. An air conditioner salesman was extremely successful one summer with this technique. Madam, he would say in a worried tone to his prospect, don't let it happen to you. Let what happen to me? She would ask. Don't let your beauty and sweet disposition fade away in this terrible hothouse of yours this summer. Do you know what heat can do to a woman? Girls in the tropics are old crones at 30, withered away. Now you know your husband's office is air-conditioned. Those pretty young secretaries down there look beautiful and cool all day long. Please, don't let him compare you, all worn out and cross with the heat, to them. Do you realize that for only 25 cents a day, you can retain your radiant beauty and youth? The third Greek fury was Alecto, the unrelenting. When Alecto is unleashed, it's not the size of the woman in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the woman. And she just won't quit. The proverbial nagging wife is a part of this unrelenting determination. But behind the nagging is the woman's desire to help her husband to succeed. A financial wizard who runs a sales school which trains men for highly paid jobs aims all of his advertising at their wives. The wives are the ones who are willing to make any sacrifice. They will see to it that the payments on the tuition are made. Women urge men to keep up with the Joneses by buying automobiles, houses, appliances, and a million other things as success status symbols. For every hussy who tries to make a fool out of a man, there are jillions of wives determined to make successes out of their husbands. The highest application of this third unrelenting fury is courage. When a woman is convinced your cause is great, there is no limit to how far she will go. Barbara Fritchie furiously displayed the stars and stripes from the window of her home in Frederick, Maryland, as Confederate General Stonewall Jackson rode through town. She'd been sold on the Union by the words of a man named Lincoln. World War I nurse Edith Cavell worked for a great humanitarian, Dr. DePage. He sold her on the idea of succor for all sick and wounded. Later, she was arrested for aiding men from both sides in the war. She explained she did it because she had become furious with the narrow-minded people who would let a wounded man writhe in pain because of his politics. Unjustly convicted as a spy, she was sentenced to death. Before they shot her, she said, "I have met death 1,000 times. It is not strange or fearful." No, death itself holds no fears to a woman who is intoxicated with unrelenting animosity against suffering and oppression. Let me leave you with this extra last secret. There is an old legend that the first woman, Eve, planned the way she was to be created. Eve's spirit asked the Lord not to place her over man's head, nor under his feet, but to take for her body a part of Adam himself, his rib, both because it was strong and because it lay nearest his heart. For her desire was to be always a part of man, under the shelter of his arm and standing staunchly by his side. The Lord himself was persuaded, and so it was done. And if you don't believe this last secret, gentlemen, count your ribs.
is Dr. Howland Owl, and I would like to invite you to listen to the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on Radio Valencia. It's on Fridays, Friday night from 10 to midnight, and beyond. Who knows how late we run? I, Dr. Howland Owl, don't always know. But I promise you, this is the most amazing collection of radio memorabilia that you have ever had occasion to hear. The wonder, the terror, the savagery, and the splendor of Ask Dr. Hal live on radio. Call in and ask me a question, or any of the recondite crew who occasionally sits in. You yourself can join the party. It just takes a radio, the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio, and you, Friday nights, 10 to midnight on Radio Valencia.
Boom, 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 boom
One night I was doing a gig at the Village Gate, and one of the songs I sang was this one, I'm in a Mood for Love. Well, after finishing my act, I sat at a table with some friends when a pretty lady came over to me and she said, I just love the way you did my song. I'm Dorothy Fields. I wrote I'm in a Mood for Love. Well, can you imagine what a thrill I got? The best part of it was I didn't even know she was out there. Had I known, I probably would have blew it. Well, a few months later, I heard she had passed on. Well, I'd like to do that song for you now. So, Dorothy Fields, if you can hear me now, I hope you enjoy your song once more. I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars we're under. Oh, is it any wonder I'm in the mood for love? I love all the many charms about you. I want my arms about you. Now don't be a naughty baby. Oh, come to Papa, come to Papa, do. My sweet embraceable, my irreplaceable, my sweet embraceable. After I kind of straighten my tie, she has to borrow my comb. A one kiss, then we continue again. A walking with baby, a talking with baby, a walking my baby back home. Sometimes I wonder why I spend each lonely night dreaming of a song. That melody haunts my memory, and I am once again with you when our love was new. And each kiss an inspiration. Oh, that was long ago. Now my consolation lies in the stardust of a song beside a garden wall where stars were bright. You are always in my arms, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body. Body and soul. If there's a cloud above, if it should rain, we'll let it. But for tonight, forget it. I That's a true story, too.
Ocean just to get to you, 'cause I'm a
jungle Superman. Jungle Superman. Jungle Superman, and I live in a tree.
All the rest of the animals are afraid of me.
Raise a bit again, lion, oh mama lion. I eat the mama grass and I'm feeling just fine. Picked up a sheep, gorilla, tucked her under one arm.
And the bravest, they all adore me. A deep in me.
I'm a Superman and I live in a tree. The wildest and the strongest on the jungle gets me. With a hooping and a howling and I'm carrying it on.
All the other animals leave me alone, 'cause I'm a
jungle Superman.
And the bravest, they all a dig of me.
Ooh,